me call the meeting of August 22nd to order of the Planning Commission. And in the room, we have myself, Nancy Tosta. We have Tina, Elena, and Daryl just arrived. And then Aaron staffing us tonight, and Lacey staffing us online. Okay. I do have a copy of the agenda somewhere here. So call to order, roll call. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Tina approves the agenda, makes a motion to approve the agenda.
How about a second?
Carol, second.
Yeah, we're actually not connected to any of this, so we're just going to speak up. Lacey, can you hear us well enough? Let's see if Elena say something.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear everyone very well, actually.
Oh, good.
Okay. All right. All right. All those in favor, any discussion on the agenda? All those in favor. Now.
Is it me? No, I'm muted.
Mute.
Okay. So are you hearing that? That is.
Yeah. That's.
Elena just needed to mute.
Elena needed to mute herself. So. Okay. All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The ayes have it. No nays. Any conflicts of interest? Nobody's saying anything, so I will assume not. We don't have any meeting minutes to approve. Lacey's working on them. We should have some by our next meeting. John, do you have anything you want to report on the town council? I don't think the town council has met since our last meeting. I should have probably taken this off the agenda.
Yeah, nothing from the town council that's new. I think we had a good joint meeting and things are back in your court.
Okay, thank you. Any reports from staff? Aaron?
No.
Okay. Lacey?
Nothing.
All right. Public comments. Anyone have a public comment on our agenda? And there's no one in the room, so it would have to be one of you on Zoom. Elena, you could turn your video on so they could see you.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. All right, no public comment. All right, we're on to our favorite topic, the subdivision code. It has gone through some multiple iterations. I was having a hard time keeping up with the input. I should have let the town council know that receiving the input a few days ahead of our meeting would have been helpful rather than telling them I needed it by today. So my apologies for multiple drafts out there. But I think what we are looking at now, and Lacey, you can start to scroll down through it, includes the comments that John Barranth has made and comments, I think most of the comments that Josh has made. You can keep scrolling. The table of contents I don't think is correct. I didn't update it. Okay, wait, go back right there. Yeah, and you've got the same, I mean, you all can pull it up on your machines, right?
Yeah.
So the folks on Zoom can see it. Lacey's got it here, but you all can see it too. I also just yesterday, late afternoon, got some comments from Gladys, which I will try to reflect as we go through it. I highlighted under purpose, and this relates back to John. And John, I will say, since you had so many comments, okay, is it okay with you all if John weighs in periodically to express what his concerns were or his observations? In this first paragraph, John, you had suggested that we remove any reference to the Boulder Town General Plan. And I did not take it out because I thought that was something that was important to us. It's reflected in our zoning code. It was previously reflected in our subdivision code. So I don't know if you want to say something about why we would remove that.
Okay, no harm leaving it in. The main thing is under state law, the general plan itself is binding on the town, but it's only advisory on citizens unless the provisions of the general plan have been specifically adopted by ordinance. So it is, we'll treat that as an aspirational goal, yes. The things we should do is to be consistent with the general plan, no harm.
Okay.
But just realize they are not binding and they do not override the ordinances.
Okay,
I just got a question there. John, what do you mean the town did not adopt the general plan at this time that we have now?
No, we adopted the general plan as a general plan, and that there are very specific things in state law about that. What it says is that a provision of the general plan doesn't override an ordinance. And the ordinance it takes precedence. So if there's a conflict between what's in the general plan and the wording in an ordinance, the wording of the ordinance is what governs when dealing with a citizen.
Okay.
Okay, and John, I did modify this a little bit to say that we are complying with the intent of the Boulder Town General Plan.
That's so perfect.
It, you know, basically doesn't make it sound so strict, I suppose. And then on the record of survey in the next sentence, the yellow highlight. So this is an ongoing discussion. As John has pointed out, we require full plats for everything. We don't do subdivision amendments or subdivision applications based on record of survey. The only place where this comes up, and this is going to be a long, hopefully not too long a discussion, under the exemptions, the minor lot subdivisions, it's an exemption from the plat requirements. That's what's in state law. So you can have a record of survey. So if we are going to put minor lot subdivisions in our code, and we don't have to, if we are, then the record, we probably need the record of survey language in here, because according to state law, the minor lot is an exemption from a full plat.
Could I make a correction on that, Nancy?
If
I think this is one we should take offline with Michael Wynn, but the state law simply says we can allow a record of survey if we put in an ordinance that allows it. We don't have to. And I think we've been, and I think what's gotten really confused here is the difference between exempting a minor lot. What we could call it something else just to avoid confusion. In fact, we could just call it one lot subdivisions, which is what we really have. Then there wouldn't be any confusion with state law. But it's the question of whether our intent is to exempt from specific survey requirements or to exempt the one lot do-it-yourself subdivisions from specific infrastructure requirements. And we should not get those two confused.
Right.
But I think beyond that, I think this should be probably discussed offline because there may be implications I'm not aware of.
Okay. When I asked Caden about this, he said we could take record of survey out. Unless we do the way the state law defines minor lot subdivisions, which is a plat exemption, an exemption from a plat. But you're making the distinction, John, with which I think is important, that we don't have to exempt anybody from a plat requirement, but we can have exemptions on what you would do if you had a one lot subdivision. And I will say I went around and around on this with Caden, because first off, a minor lot subdivision in state law is not in a subdivision. It has to be outside of a subdivision, and it creates parcels, not lots. And so the language to call something this minor, and those words minor lot subdivision are not in the state code. And I asked Caden, you know, where that came from, why he put it in. And it's just, he said, you don't have to have it. If we want to do something explicit for a one lot subdivision, we can talk about doing that. And I would agree with John, we shouldn't call it minor lot subdivision, because I think that terminology is really confusing. So We'll get to that. But so we can take record of survey out. We will require a plat for all subdivisions. Makes it cleaner, easier. Everybody okay with that? I'm looking around here at my fellow commissioners who. Okay. Building lot. So John added a couple of definitions, which is why they're highlighted here. And I will say on the definitions, and when we get to the discussion about the zoning, there's a whole bunch of definitions in the zoning code. And I highlighted some of them. And then there are definitions in state law, which we don't have to repeat in any of our codes. So I think what we have in here now is basically sort of unique to what we're talking about in this subdivision ordinance. We refer to building lots when we talk about lot size averaging. So we decided we probably should put a definition in here for building lot, what that means. And this is the language that John came up with. But I do think at some point we need to crosswalk what's in our zoning code, what's in this code, and what's in state code. And ideally, we get to the point where we have a definition section at the top of our code and not buried in each of our code sections.
Okay.
Okay. You good with that? Elena, you okay with it?
I mean, the only thing that might add clarity is saying a lot that allows construction of a dwelling or commercial structure based depending on zoning or something, just so that people can't say, well, I have a building lot. That means I can put a commercial structure on it.
And I'm not even sure why we'd say commercial structure in the subdivision code. Because we're not dealing with commercial lots, right?
No.
So I'm not sure that we need commercial in there that allows construction of a dwelling. What was your language?
A dwelling or commercial structure, I just added depending on zoning or based on zoning, just to be clear that just because you have a building lot doesn't mean you can have a commercial structure. But maybe we don't do that.
But commercial is not restricted to its own necessarily.
So it's, yeah.
I just say take it out.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay, take out commercial structure. So a lot that allows construction of a dwelling.
Wait. Why? Can you explain that again? Like, why?
Yeah, and maybe it's not necessary, but I guess I was just saying that for consistency's sake, like someone might say, well, I have a building lot, and a building lot is defined as a lot that allows for the construction of a dwelling or a commercial structure. So they could say that they're allowed to just build a commercial structure wherever they are and whatever the circumstance. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Because a building lot's defined as. It basically reads like you can have a dwelling or a commercial structure.
The one behind you.
And that could be overkill. You know, maybe no one would say.
Sorry, we took a break to open the windows. It's hot.
We'll maybe change it to a lot that allows construction of a dwelling or structure permitted by zoning. Because
we don't have zoning for commercial. That's the thing. Right now, we don't have zoning for commercial.
Okay.
We have a conditional use permit process.
So if I have a commercial structure I'm building, it would not be a building lot under the definition. Or
so where this comes up is in the lot size averaging. And I mean, we haven't talked through that creating smaller lots and ag lot would be for commercial development. I mean, this is all about residential. Now, I suppose, you know, this subdivision code could be creating lots that ultimately will be commercial.
Right. Okay, so, well, just leave it in there then, I guess.
Nancy, John has his hand raised, and I'm also going to leave the chat up because Aaron's commenting about zoning stuff in there. Just FYI.
Okay, John, go ahead. I'm sorry. We were
commenting.
Yeah. We partially let give Aaron a chance to speak too. You know, given that this needs to be to town council in a month or so, some things we may just have to decide, let's come back to deal with it later. So I have no real strong object feelings. But it was said right. We have a conditional use permit process for commercial use right now. So and we also do not have a, although we are required by state law only to address subdivision ordinance for residential, we do not have any commercial provisions for subdivision. And it also gets into what do you call something like the processing building at Red House Farm. It's not strictly commercial, but it's maybe a tad more than agricultural. So you could go either way, but I think it's important really now to just move on. And if something needs to be flagged as needing to be revisited, I think that would be the best way to handle it.
Okay.
Okay. Driveways. So there was a point in time when I thought we'd eliminated driveways, but driveways are relevant because if you come off a private road or a public road to a house, a structure, it's a driveway. And they are relevant from the perspective of fire protection and, you know, construction, wildland, the Utah Wildland Urban Interface Code. Is that ever pronounced as a yeah. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Okay, you all right? Let's keep putting that in there. Scroll down, Lacey, please. Maintenance responsibility, we took this out because it actually isn't used as that terminology in the document. Mm-hmm. Keep scrolling. Okay, administrative land use authority. So John and I talked about this. We have talked about this in the Planning Commission that we would like to make recommendations. We can make recommendations, but we don't need to put it in the ordinance that we will be making recommendations. Okay. That it's sort of an administrative process that doesn't belong in the ordinance. Okay. Okay, exceptions. So this.
Can you get a one lot subdivision exception?
Yeah.
Okay, so one of Gladys's comments was she's thinking in terms of four lots. But maybe, so that was just one of her comments. Given that we have, so the other thing here, the way the state law is written, this doesn't happen in subdivisions. So if we want to make it a one lot rule, which is kind of completely different than maybe what's in state law about minor lot subdivisions, it could happen anywhere, right? I mean, and it could be the creation of a lot and not a parcel. So this is what got really mind-boggling, confusing of, you know, parcels exist outside of subdivisions. Within a subdivision, it's lots.
Once a parcel is divided, is it not a subdivision?
No. I mean, that's...
Wait, what do you mean? Why not?
Because you can create another parcel. I don't know. You know, that's actually a really good question, Tina. John, do you know the answer to that? Once a parcel is divided, or Michael, once a parcel is divided, isn't it a subdivision?
Certainly the way we've been administering it in Boulder. Always remember, we can be stricter than state law. The only thing is we, in some cases, we are bound to be at least as lenient as state law. So it gets confusing. I think the best thing here is don't use the same word that's in state law. So if we could just start change minor law subdivision to small subdivision exemption, whether it be one or four, I think we've resolved the whole problem. So that would be my suggestion, just change that to small subdivision exemption.
Small subdivision, yeah. We're not actually making changes in real time here. I guess if I was sharing it, I could do that, but I'm making notes. So small.
Okay, so that's what we want to say. I will.
I feel like just that. Calling it one lot. It really, one lot.
Yeah, well, to me, it's a one-lot subdivision, one new lot.
I mean, so, okay, calling it one lot,
that's fine.
It seems like it's a way of trying to force in a very particular way where, I don't know if it's Gladys or Ray who said it, but choosing just one lot is completely ignores the interests of large property owners. And there are only a handful of large property owners in town, but, you know.
They can create a subdivision. I mean,
correct, but I know that. Yeah, but it's whether it's one lot or four or three or two, I think we should just not dismiss their concerns out of hand. And I think, so I disagree with calling it a one lot subdivision so that we have the option of calling it minor lot subdivision and then picking the number, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, or 10, whatever it is, whatever the number is, but then the name never has to change. Whereas if we call it one lot and then we change it to a three lot subdivision, then that's just unnecessary.
So what we're doing here, though, is exempting this subdivision from certain aspects of infrastructure
Correct.
Development.
Yes.
And do we want to be creating subdivisions in town, around town, of 2, 3, 4 lots that don't have the infrastructure? I mean, is that what's the rationale for doing that?
So I guess the rationale, I think, is what Caden was talking about, where it's more common for a family to buy 20 acres and they'll split it up amongst four kids. So they'll do 4 or 5 acre lots, and then the kids can develop over the next 20, 30 years as the money, as, you know, if they have money for the cabin type thing. So that kind of logic is why they usually have it as multiple 5 or 10, you know. And whereas if a family were to do that under the subdivision rules, they would have to, someone would have to pony up the money from day one to put in all the infrastructure for land that may or may not be built on at some point by the kids.
So this would allow you to carve off one lot, 3 years later, carve off another lot. I mean, you know, you have that
okay.
option
yeah.
rather than, you know, saying you're going to create all these lots and then maybe someday they'll have some infrastructure. This gives you a more measured approach to it. And if it wasn't a family with kids, I mean, it's just some developer comes in and then starts carving up pieces of property with no infrastructure.
That's the thing that I think makes sense about it, is if we just let it happen, it's more likely developers can do that. But yeah, if people are dividing for their kids, it's like, what are the odds each of your kids are going to be ready to build at the exact same time? Like, you can wait 3 years for the next kid to be ready, you know?
Well, then what about two instead of one? Because then if someone has a big family, then doing it one by one by one So Ray, he's got seven kids, so 3 times 7. So it'd take him 21 years of never, if he never misses, so 21 years to actually subdivide it out like that.
But he can do it the other way, and maybe that's the
Yeah,
best
he
option
can.
for him. Because if he really wants to have 7 lots for
If
his
he's got
seven
all
kids,
kinds,
maybe he should just go the other way.
if he's got a big stack of cash to put in all the infrastructure,
It's the
right? And
infrastructure
that, so
thing.
that's the
Yeah, so
question.
it has to be on a road. Well, at least the way this is written, and we can decide what the requirements are, that there has to be a road, there has to be access. You don't create lots that don't have any access.
Right.
Correct.
So there has to be roads. What you're excused from is the potable water supply. That's the main
No, well, we still
thing.
have. I mean, I guess you don't have to install it, but you still have to do the proof of culinary water and the septic system feasibility. They're still doing all of that.
Yeah, I mean, what this says is you don't need the road maintenance agreement,
Yeah.
or the fire protection plan, stormwater drainage plan. Yeah, actually, so it does say you need
Yeah,
to do
they're
all of the
just creating
infrastructure.
lots anyway. And I think it's important to think about I think that our role is to think about what we actually want to see happen versus do something specific for one specific family that may or may not take advantage of the I don't just don't think that's a logical way to do it
Right.
personally.
Particularly if it opens it up for
Everyone else to, yeah.
somebody to, abuse what we're trying to accomplish.
So I admit that. So one big difference in our town, how minor lot subdivisions is implemented in Boulder versus, I don't know, Lyman or something. Most other towns have a 1 acre lot size minimum, not five. So that's a tremendous difference in how things get split up, and so, but I guess I don't know. I'm just not. If we just completely ignore people who say they want it to be higher, like 4 or 5, or I don't know what they want. Gladys said 4. I don't know. Maybe a concession would be 2. Yeah, I don't
So,
know.
okay, so what basically what we're saying is maybe this is what we shouldn't, as long as there is a road into it and the infrastructure is not there, as soon as they go to build on that property, they have to put the infrastructure in.
Right.
So maybe we just do it that way, the whole thing. Skip this part.
The whole subdivision ordinance? I
Yeah,
mean, that you can
that you can
create lots with no infrastructure.
well, they have a road. They have a road.
Right.
Maybe they have an infrastructure that, a place where the infrastructure can go or is available to go. I don't know. Just like if
Because it's pretty explicit as you go through this, and I've gone around and around with Caden, you do the infrastructure before you record the lots, that the developer, I mean, who's ever splitting up the land, has the responsibility to put in the infrastructure. And it doesn't, the argument that it's cheaper to the buyer doesn't really hold water, because if a buyer is going to build something, they're going to have to get a well driller or the
Right.
hookup and everything else, the septic system, everything else in place, the road up to standards. And we spent a lot of time on the roads being up to our infrastructure standards.
Yeah. Yeah, because you'd have to put the infrastructure in first, but you have to put it in before you build anyway. And I think that one of the reasons we've talked about trying to keep that for the minor lots of keep that part back is because people don't always get the opportunity to get buy land, and then if they can and can subdivide, you want to give them time to get ready for it. And in this scenario, we're talking about where you're potentially buying something from your parents, you can probably wait till you're ready. You know what I mean? Where if you're not buying something from your parents or a friend, it's sort of like this is for sale now. You get it or you don't, and something might come for sale in a few. But it's like if it's your parent doing it for you, you get the money ready and then go back to them. Do you know what I mean? And then do the subdivision and put the infrastructure in. I just think it makes sense with one. My concern, I suppose, with this minor lot subdivision thing is I kind of only like it if it's one. So I worry about putting it in there as one and then town council changes it to four. I'd rather not have it at all than have it be four.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm one or none on this.
I feel the same
So if
way.
it's not in there at all, they can't change it to four. But if
Right.
it's in there like this, I worry that they'll just like up it to whatever number they feel like it
Well,
would have. Well, no, if
they can put
it's
it back in.
they can put it back in.
Yeah. So
Just take that
we
long.
don't have to have it. I mean, it's not, there are some things in state law that if we don't put them in our code, they can be done anyway. And the ag exemption
Yeah.
is true. So we have to talk about the ag exemption because I suggested we take it out. State law allows it. And if we don't say anything about it, someone could come along and use that ag exemption, even though we don't talk about it. So,
Right.
but this one isn't, we don't have to have it in here. We can put it in if we want to make it more stringent than state law, which says 10. So, what are the druthers?
Could I say something here quick, Nancy?
Yep, go for it,
Okay.
John.
One is, again, I think we're confusing an exemption that state law allows us to have from a favoring of do-it-yourself subdividers that Boulder has discussed wanting. That's two different issues, and we shouldn't confound them. I'm noticing this discussion. The discussion's have been about one, two, or four, but we haven't really. I haven't heard much discussion about what things we should, do want to exempt and shouldn't exempt. So you might actually look at that list in terms of, is that what you want to exempt small subdivisions, which is the term I'll use for the moment, from? And then the other thing related is, we've had like four that fall into this category in the last few years. And what we could, would be helpful is to look at each of those. Sugarloafin, Ray Nelson splitting his land, Andy Rice. First, would it work under the wording that you have in the ordinance? And is that the outcome that the town would want? So that's a little higher level discussion.
Yeah, well, the words here are, and I agree with you, John. We have to stop. Can we agree that we're not going to call it minor lot subdivision because it's confusing with what's in state code? And we agree on that. So we're going to call it small subdivision or one lot subdivision or. Do we agree on that, folks? And I know you don't like one lot, but small subdivision. Okay. All right. And then
So it's okay. So John says looking at what it's
what do
not
we exempt,
required
right?
is a private road maintenance agreement, a fire protection plan, fire protection infrastructure, and a stormwater drainage plan, and a subdivision improvement plan. Okay, so, but all of these things come into play as soon as you want to put a structure on the property.
Right. So you still have to have a professional plat, documentation of legal access. I mean, I would take out the first thing. So not part of a subdivision. It could be part of a subdivision, right? I mean, we've agreed with that
Where is that?
the very top, the
Oh,
parcel to be
well,
subdivided shall not
not
be
pre.
part of a subdivision. This is what it says in state law. Actually, it's not what it says in state law. It's what Caden says is the intent of the state law.
The following are not required in creating a minor subdivision. But where are you looking?
At the top, B.
Oh, requirement for minor subdivision.
The parcel to be subdivided shall not be part of a subdivision previously approved by Boulder Town. So we eliminate that.
Right, that's what I suggested.
Okay.
Because it conflicts with the number two.
So then if we take out number one, then it's fine if there's already an existing subdivision.
Right.
Okay, good, good.
So I guess, so my question, if it's one, two, three, four, if that's the sticking point, certainly if it were to somebody to make 4 5-acre lots, without having to go through with bypassing a lot of requirements, that's one thing. But what are your thoughts, like, for example, on this? So if somebody did, if they were small, like either 1 or 1.5 acres max, so if they're, so which means they'd have to use
Right.
average
Lot size
lot sizing,
averaging.
lot size averaging,
Right.
and then so you'd have all the open space. So somebody has a big area, they can put 3 little 1 acre spots for their kids. Is that, what do you think of that? Is that, and then then there's the kids can develop it as they get their money, type thing.
So that would be covered under lot size averaging because they wouldn't be allowed to do it unless they stated the intent to use lot size averaging because
Correct.
it would be 5 acre minimums.
But they wouldn't,
But there's
they
still.
would still be required to do all the entire, all the requirements of a subdivision because it's greater than one. So they're trying to do three, but they're little, they're just 1 acres. So what if we added language that it's one if it's over 1.5 acres, or three or two or four if it's 1.5 acres and less, or something like that?
But the lot size averaging is an explicit path.
Correct.
You can't do 1 acres under all of these other things, unless you
Yeah.
say, I'm going to do lot size
Right.
averaging. And then you can create any number of lots.
But if I use lot size averaging and I want to create 3 or 4 lots, then I'm required to go through all of the requirements for a subdivision. But
Yeah.
say I can't modify this, so a minor lot subdivision says 1 of any size, so it could be 2 40-acre lots, you know, if I had 80 acres, or it could be, let's say, 3 small ones that are like an acre and a half and or smaller
But you have to do a lot more to allow for that to happen. You have
for
to
the
re
lot size average.
for the lot size averaging, you have to acknowledge that this is based on 80 acres, and I have already divided my allowed dividable land
By
Correct.
five,
by, yeah.
which gives you the number of lots, then you can.
Right. So I don't, I mean, it's a little more complicated process.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering if it alleviates the, so the concern is, does somebody with 20 acres, do they just create three, does it, they turn it into 4 or 5 acre lots and not have to do anything? You know, they get a freebie, you know. And so that is a concern. But I'm asking, is it a different concern when the lots are small, when they're using lot size averaging and they're only putting down 1 acre, or 1.25, 1.5 acres, something like that?
I don't think so.
I don't think they don't get a buy. They don't get exemptions for doing that.
Okay.
You mean they don't, they'd have to
They'd
put
have to do
the
the
infrastructure.
infrastructure.
Well, I mean, so, and your reasoning is.
The idea that we would be creating a whole bunch of lots with no infrastructure, I guess, bothers me. I mean, that although that,
But as soon as
yeah, I mean, I guess.
they actually develop it, I mean, if they can map it out and say, okay, this is the access, this is these properties, and then the land person who's buying it gets it, however it is, they have to do all the infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, at least the way we've got it, talked about now. I mean, so the idea of combining small lot subdivision with lot size averaging subdivision is basically, exempting lot size averaging from some of the infrastructure requirements.
Right.
I mean, we do allow phased development in lot size averaging, which we don't allow
probably
anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. So we should probably take that part out or have it just be consistent everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm not, okay, I don't own 80 acres or the reason I'm asking this is because there is always a temptation to the, we live in a pretty place and we, adding more requirements just,
it's limiting.
It's a direct correlation with the price. The more requirements we add, there is a reason why Black Ledge Mesa has a CCR book that's, I don't know how many inches thick, and the price of the homes there are, I don't know what the lowest price it's ever sold, but it's very expensive homes. So the more layers of requirements we add, the less accessible housing is in Boulder Town, just across the board. So when we add layers to things and make it harder to develop, we're just making that choice right then and there. So we can talk about affordable housing, but we don't really mean it.
But we haven't honestly added layers. I mean, these are all in our requirements now. And Boulder doesn't look like Lyman because of that. I mean, Boulder's general plan says we want it to be agriculture, open space. So we don't look like Moab or Escalante or Lyman or Tropic.
Yeah.
Because we've made those decisions based on the whole visioning in the general plan. Now, we can talk at some point about changing the general plan and the kind of community we want to have, but we're not layering things here. I mean, these aren't new requirements. We're just talking about them a little differently under the state mandates.
Okay, no, I just want, I mean, I was asking because, like, if we just go out and say flat out to the town council, no, four, the answer is no on four, yes on one, and we don't have any reason, and we don't also offer them any concessions or say that, look, we could choose two or three, provided they're small lots. And then that, so I guess I would think that if it's two or three and small lots, then you preserve the goal of open space, actually promote it. Frankly, it'd probably be more. So this is the minor lot subdivision is one of the most popular vehicles used in town. And maybe it would be even more popular than if we allowed it to be layered on with lot size averaging, because what we've had the cluster language for how many years, and it was never, ever implemented. So maybe this is a way to actually implement it.
Well,
so
I after, you know, all of this, my bottom line is that what is absolutely important for us when dealing with requirements for infrastructure, I mean, septic feasibility approval, that's a big one, right?
Yep.
Proof of
yep.
culinary water, that's a big one. You know, documentation, I personally, I am also questioning what our point is as far as infrastructure. If it's something that's going to cause the town a problem, the town itself.
By requiring it before we subdivide, you mean?
Before you subdivide? I mean,
doesn't cause the town a problem, other than, you know, we potentially end up with a lot of lots that people are going to have to put a lot of money into to and may determine that there is no water and they can't put a septic system on. So it could be buyer beware, I suppose.
You mean because eventually they couldn't put a septic if they
right if they don't have a PERC test.
But
to know.
The application shall include, you know, documentation of a legal access for the public of a public or a public or private road, septic system feasibility application. Will that go away over years? Possibly.
No, but I thought you were saying, why are we requiring these things? I thought that's what you were asking.
I'm just saying, I'm going back to what Daryl was talking about, is are our requirements for infrastructure before selling a lot that important? Other than the ones that are in three.
Okay, so those are the only requirements we're saying you have to do if you're going to do a small subdivision. You need a plat. You need to know there's access.
What Gina is saying is that for any subdivision, whatever size, is it that important? And correct me if I'm wrong. Is it that important to have the infrastructure? And the feasibility stuff is definitely important. And does it need to be actually installed? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
So, and the only risk I see there, I guess, is you could potentially end up with, you know, people talk about it, who knows if it'll happen, but like they could pull drilling rights in Boulder at some point or something. And then, so it's like, if someone subdivides 20 lots, decides to sit on them as an investment for a really long time, never puts in the water, then they've got all these dry lots potentially if we lose our drilling, you know, whatever it is here. I mean, again, these are like potentially not scenarios that will happen, but they might be things that we should think about. Whereas if we allow it for a single lot, it's like, okay, you end up with this one lot, you figure it out, the person ends up, they should have put the infrastructure in sooner or whatever, but you don't end up with these 20 lots that someone can still sell off.
With no water and potentially
no water,
no fire, no fire
anymore.
No fire protection.
And no fire protection.
When they build, that's when the infrastructure will go in. That's when the fire requirements will start. That's when all of that stuff is basically says.
But we did talk about this once before. So if somebody creates a 20 lot subdivision and, you know, the lots get sold, the first buyer has to put in the fire hydrant infrastructure for the whole subdivision. I mean,
that's why we ended up landing on that.
I mean, we said no, the developer needs to put that in.
So yeah, it's only the minor lot that gets to avoid this.
Let's not talk minor lot anymore.
Sorry.
Small.
That fire requirement that dictates a lot of that is an expensive pipe to put down. It is not cheap. I think it's about 8 inches of steel,
Whatever. It's expensive. It's $100 a foot or something.
So whether we want to encourage the DIY development,
it means the DIY should be close to the water source.
Mm-hmm. And if it is DIY, honestly, that's how it's probably how it's going to happen. They're not going to put it at the back end of the property and put an 8-inch line all the way out there.
Yeah. Look at Deer Ranch, right? I mean, it's not close to a hydrant. It's way down a road.
At a pond or? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. So this doesn't have like a distance. We don't have in this a minor lot. Sorry, a small lot. Small.
That it needs to be close to the.
We don't have it needing to be close to a fire hydrant like it is currently.
No.
Yeah.
We've taken that. So.
I'm sorry I'm just questioning it because if we don't go over this and have, you know, clear answer for like why it is that we are requiring what we are requiring, maybe we should add in a small subdivision that it needs to be have feasibility, or you know, have access to fire hydrants. Or, you know, the possibility of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're not going to get insurance if you don't have some mechanism to fight fire. If you're
right.
building a house, I mean,
right.
It's,
and there are other ways to actually protect your house versus a fire hydrant.
Right, right. You have a pond, or you have tanks,
or
something.
Have tanks, or you have, you know, you know.
But really, gallons per minute well, or whatever. I mean,
yeah,
I guess you can't pump enough, but.
No.
But it is, when we bought our place, and I called the insurance company, the very first question they asked is, where's the fire hydrant?
Yeah.
That was the very first question.
Yeah, and
our
house's insurance was pretty high because that we were not close to, until recently.
Right.
The fire hydrant.
So,
it
I mean.
It make a difference.
Yeah. So.
Our house is made up. Yeah.
What do you want to do with this? Do we? Well, so we're going to take out minor lot subdivision, minor subdivision altogether, and we may replace it with a small lot subdivision. And I think whatever we give the town council, I mean, if we want it to be one, we say, because that seems to be what's been happening a lot in Boulder, and, you know, it's pretty common. Town council, it's a recommendation on our part. So if town council wants to say, no, 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 small subdivisions are 10 lots, and they can change it.
Yep. I'll go with that one.
And then the, you know, requirements are as we have them here, that, you know, you still have to have a plat, and you still have to have access, feasibility for septic, and feasibility for water, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our concern is, if you create a lot without water on it, will there be an option for water in the future? Which I think is a really...
It's a big question. And
big
we're not
question.
Allowing dry subdivisions. I mean, we took that out. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's...
And that's, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I think of, like I was saying, like if they... Again, I have no idea if they will, because they want potentially stopping the well... drilling and stuff, and it's like
most of the
I mean,
basins are closed.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not gonna drill my well soon, but I was like, what do I do? They just say, no, you know what I mean? Like, no more wells before the people show up, you know? And it's like, if you suddenly have a big, you know, big neighborhood with that problem, it would be a problem.
And you know, if you're a family and you're giving property to the kids, it's their choice whether they sell it or not. Just no.
Yeah.
It's just like any other piece of property.
Yeah. So I guess one of the decisions we need to make, though, is if we want to have it be X number of feet from a fire hydrant, even for the small subdivision, right? We haven't landed on that yet.
Well, we are saying, so when we get later on in our fire protection stuff, we don't give anything explicit like that. We simply say there has to be a fire protection plan approved by the Boulder Town Fire Authority. And it relates back to the Urban Wildland Interface Code. So we don't ever, we've taken out anything about proximity to fire hydrants.
In general, okay.
Right. But here we're also saying there is no fire protection plan. And I guess somebody's just going to have to be aware that if they're buying the lot to build a house, they're going to have to be conscious of how they protect it from fire, because or they're not going to insure it.
And yeah, I wonder if in the long run, not today, but I wonder if in the long run, if we want to like give any, or if we just think that's not our lane, like give any parameters or advice or something like that to the fire prison, you know, because I mean, right now it's Pete, and when I worked with him for my subdivision, he's like the most reasonable person on the planet, but it could be someone else, and then they could say yes or no to someone's fire safety depending on all kinds of factors, you know. So it might be good to,
yeah,
I don't know,
let's not do that now. Let's move on. Okay, Daryl, you're okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we will recommend either one lot subdivision, or suggests that it be small subdivision.
Well, why don't we call it small subdivision, okay, and it applies to the creation of one lot.
Okay. Okay.
So you may be creating two lots because you're carving off one,
right?
Like one new lot, basically.
I'm making this as well.
Right. Okay. Moving on, agricultural land exemption. And I'm sorry, I have a hard copy here of the language that used to be in here because it's not in here now because we talked about taking it out. I'm trying to think. Yes, I could share my screen so the folks can see this. So according to Caden, this is in state code. And what we put, actually,
property adjustment, we're not doing any. Okay, there it is. Okay.
Hey, Lacey, if you give me share responsibilities or options, I can share. Hang on. I cannot screen share while you're sharing. So if you close yours for now, Lace, and then let me open mine. I am going to share. Oh, God, which one is it? So that the folks online can see this. So what I've done here is so this language, can you all see that? So, okay, so what we had previously was what's at the top here. That's what I took out. What's down below, and I mentioned this at the last meeting, this is what's in the Tropic Code. This is essentially word for word state law. And I had to go look up what aliquot part meant, which is, I put the definition down there at the bottom for you. But I would say maybe we just put this in our code. The logic being, this is allowed under state law. Whether or not we put it in our code, someone could do this.
Uh-huh.
And here we back are to record of survey.
So this is ag and ag only.
This is only ag, right? My argument against taking it out originally was, does it encourage us to make our big ag land into little ag land parts?
Right.
And I didn't like that. But then when Caden said, you know, it basically is allowed under state law.
Okay. I think it's something people should know exists.
Okay, so if we just put the tropic language in, you know,
yeah,
okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. And John or Michael, or if you want to weigh into any of this, please do so. All right, Lace, I'm going to stop sharing here. Go ahead. John, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I would love. I'm going to review what's in the state law because I do not think that this tropic language is word for word from the state law. I'll take a look at that in real time here and maybe later in the meeting or raise my hand about it. But I think it's probably move on.
Okay. If it's not word for word, it's very close. So, all right. So meets and bounds. Basically, this was actually John's language that we don't want. So meets and bounds used to be used a lot, not used so much anymore. We don't want any new applications to be submitted in meets and bounds. We want them to be plat surveyed. So you okay with this? I mean, it's basically. Okay. Property boundary adjustments. Why did I highlight this? I'm not sure why I highlighted this because this is also sort of state law.
Yeah, it seems like it's not fish. What is? Yeah, I didn't see anything.
Okay.
And the bounty agreements, neither. It's just
Yeah, it was
housekeeping.
also cleaning up the timing because that's sort of how many days
Okay.
people have to do this. Okay, go ahead, Lace, scroll down boundary line
So
agreement.
we decided that it was going to be business days and not calendar days.
We did decide
Okay,
that.
okay.
And that's something we're going to have to resolve with our zoning code because
Okay.
in our zoning code, it just says days.
Okay.
So actually, it says calendar days, I think, in our
Yeah.
zoning code.
Okay.
This is sort of the same thing.
Are you at
I mean,
the
these are
boundaries?
just kind of state law things that,
Boundary line agreements?
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It
I mean, they're,
doesn't seem
you
right.
can change your boundaries. You're not creating a subdivision, but if
Right.
you and your neighbor want to move a line, you can do that. And that's what this is all about.
Boundary adjustment sort of thing, which
Right.
is what we had in ours before.
Yeah. Yes. Subdivision amendment. So this is the other way that, and this is essentially what Elena did because it was an amendment to an existing subdivision.
Right.
I think Garfield County, and I'd have to go look, actually has a separate application form for a subdivision amendment. And so this is actually easier. Elena didn't know this, but it's actually easier than creating a whole new subdivision.
Okay, wait, I couldn't be seeing
Yes, you could have just done a subdivision amendment under our new rules here.
anybody.
You create a new lot.
Sorry, what was that? John, did you just say something, or was that Mike?
I didn't mean to say I hadn't muted the audio, but I'll say it anyway. The subdivision amendment doesn't allow you to create a new lot. It allows you to move a boundary between existing lots.
Right.
Right.
So Elena did basically two steps. First, adjusting the boundary between the lands to the lots to the east, and then taking
And
a
then
big
dividing,
lot.
right, and then dividing. That's right. So that's why yours was more complicated. You had to do two different things. Okay. Moving on to public right-of-way subdivisions. I don't can't give you an example of this, Tina. I know you asked for an example. Josh made a comment about without we didn't have that last sentence in there. And he said, how would the zoning administrator know that this was happening? And so I added that the public entity needs to notify the zoning administrator. That this is happening before it gets recorded. So, I mean, it's a way to keep track of it. Okay, moving on. Subdivision review process. So, this is an attempt to summarize basically what the state law is requiring in terms of numbers of days. And all of this is in much more detail in the subsequent sections, but this was a way for someone to come in and say, oh, I have to do this and this and this and see it in one place. This isn't necessary. I mean, I talked to Caden about putting this in, and then John did some tweaking on it. So it was a way just to make things, it's like having our process diagram in our old code in a way, but it gives you a little more detail.
And it will probably show up in the application.
Yeah. but it's sort of encoded in the ordinance now. And B here is important for people to be aware, because this happens now. Like someone will put a subdivision application in, you know, Aaron starts looking at it, and then they come back and say, oh, wait a minute, I wanted to change, you know, these three things on it. They can't do that because there's an explicit timing here. So if they come back with a new application, you know, it's start over and it's pay the fee again. Mm-hmm. And it's what, $1,000 fee now. Everybody okay with that? It's actually explicit in state law. So, all right. Scroll down there, Lace, thanks. Submission. So put electronically in here. Fingers crossed that we're going to be able to do this. Garfield County has electronic submission. We talked about this last time, and I know Aaron's looking into it, and we can have a training on how to use the software that would allow applications to be uploaded electronically. So that's the goal.
It's like filling out a form, right?
Yeah, it's filling out a form online, basically. It's pretty straightforward. Okay, I'm going to just scroll through here if there's no objections, or Lacey's going to scroll through here. Private utilities, this previously, I think, said irrigation district or something, and John changed it to private utilities, so. I don't think there's an issue with that. We didn't change the language. So C is new. And this.
Sorry, can I say one thing on the thing above?
Yeah, go back up a little bit, Lace, please.
I think we talked about for the private utilities last time, just like things that could be underground. We talked about like phone lines and stuff, also like the fiber that's being run right now, also in tap and potentially power in some places. Talk about that for other utilities that might be like potentially dug up by some people.
Yeah. So the digging up is going to happen when it's building, right? As opposed to dividing the property.
Yeah, but if they're putting in infrastructure and streets and stuff beforehand, they could hit stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's true, huh? Well, we could add that they have to notify, you know, South Central and Garcane.
Yeah. Just.
And actually, this kind of comes to the point of the water company, because the water company would really like to have the plat of the subdivision that they're actually asking for water to be given to them, and for the reason that, in fact, they have a lot of infrastructure underground that isn't, you know, they could say, well, in this plot or in this plat, we can give you water, but you also have to be aware that there's this or that.
So maybe it's not even, well, I guess notify might be the best we can do, but I was going to say maybe it needs to be like a sign off from each of those people, like it is.
Well, that's down below. So okay. That's in these requirements down here. Number seven is written approval.
Okay.
So, but the town will notify. I mean, we can, you know, get into detail, but it could be we're going to send the plat to them, or
yeah.
I mean, notify them, and then they say, "I want to see the plat." So
yeah,
okay, I'll go with
them. So for both the below ground water supply, culinary water supply delivery, and then separately for the irrigation ditches, are there recorded easements of identify exactly where they are, or is it just we're still small enough that we just call them and ask them?
That's how it's been.
Yeah, and on so if you read down to the subdivision plat number 5A or 5-1 down there, so all of the easements and everything else that's known has to be shown on the plat that's submitted.
Okay.
And, you know, some of that may not be, I mean, it may be informal, which is why exactly what Tina was just saying, notifying Emil with the plat so they're aware of,
right.
you know, where something might be happening. Yeah, we put this noticing in here. Caden doesn't like this noticing, but we decided that from a Boulder perspective, people want to know. And the adjacent property owners, let's see, this may be one that... noticing. Okay. Gladys asked the question of, you know, if the property owner objects to subdivision, that's not what this is about. There's no, you know,
oh,
I don't want a subdivision going in here. This is simply a number one. Are there easements or boundary issues that somebody doing a subdivision next door should be aware of? So this is not voicing concern. It's simply expressing known information about the property.
Yeah.
Okay, but we will add Garcane and South Central to number two, private utilities. Okay.
Yeah. Are there any others when we're thinking about? Those are just the two I just said, but I don't think so. Power, water. Seems to be that, right?
It's special service district? What's an example of a special service district?
It would be like an HOA or something on, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know that we have very many of those, but it's in our current code. So it seemed like it would be worth putting it in.
But if an HOA is, if there's a subdivision in an HOA, then they would be well aware of it.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody up on the mesa decides to divide their property into small pieces.
I'm not a big fan of the noticing the B1, the adjacent property owners, because do you give them a false sense of hope that they can tell you what color to paint your house? I mean,
that's what no, that is.
Well, that's why this is seeking comments on existing easements and or property boundaries. Those are the only comments that are being sought. And the reason we put this in here, I mean, we had Donna Owens, the subdivision that she did, and Keith, one of the adjacent property owners, pointed out that the survey that was on the application didn't match the survey of his property that was adjacent. And so it necessitated them taking a look at which one's accurate here. So it was useful for them to be aware. And given we're not having any public hearings, so the public doesn't even know that any of this is going on, this was a way for people that, you know, live next door to be aware that. But it's not a way to object. You can't stop the subdivision by telling somebody that it's happening. Okay, moving on. C. So this is John's suggestion, and I think it's a good one, that we be pretty explicit, and this should help application form, very explicit in the ordinance about what's required for an application, because the application form is going to be, you know, a separate document, and this very much tell somebody that these are required by law.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, and the drainage plan, so everyone will have to have a drainage plan. Correct.
That's correct. And this is, hang on 1 second, the number seven there. So this is where Camille, in a farmstead, so written approval that there is water available, but they're okay with doing that?
Well, they're going to require a check.
A check.
They will not necessarily cash. That they want
a deposit, like hundreds of dollars or
1700.
1700. Wow.
I mean, that's what they're saying now. I don't know. I asked them if they wanted to, but they've been duped before, and they feel like,
huh?
That's maybe interesting.
They had like a feasibility thing rather than like a commitment thing,
right? That water could be available to your property.
Yeah. Well, part of it is too that if someone says they want a hookup, how long do they hold on to that before they either have to let it go or?
Well, they could set a limit. They could say, this is good for 3 years or 5 years.
So that's what they're looking into too. But that's not part of our ordinances. It's part of theirs. So whoever deals with them will have to deal with them.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Sure, that's beyond there.
Right. Okay.
Is there a definition of in 5.4?
Natural hazards
defined somewhere?
We have an overlay. It's Mesa. I don't know if it's natural hazards. Help me here, John. Do we have a natural hazards map somewhere? Or
No, we don't. At this time, at some point, we will have a floodplain map. That's probably 2-3 years out at least. That is the biggest one.
So we should drop identification of natural hazards.
I think this is the case. If you're paying an engineer to do it, and it sort of puts the burden on them to use their professional judgment if there is something on the site that should be indicated.
Yeah. I think it's fine to keep it in a building so they can just make a note that says no natural hazards.
Right. Did you hear that, John? Keep it, but the professional can make a note that there's no known hazards. I mean, we're talking steep slopes and quicksand and whatever.
Yeah.
So steep slopes because of falling rocks or steep slopes because of avalanche?
Those are the same, aren't they?
Right now, actually, we make it very difficult to build on anything over 15 degrees. That's something I hope we will look at in the future, but right now, That's in our definition of what's the sensitive lands overlay.
And the okay, never mind.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of ambiguous things that are just left up to the discretion of somebody down the road. So
yeah, I mean, we could take it out. The one above it says sensitive lands, so the survey would probably point out the same things for those two,
Well, it says sensitive lands per town code, so it's defined.
Yeah, it's the overlay.
So I don't know. Yeah, the natural hazards, if it's not defined, then it just
leaves it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a subjective element that can be manipulated.
That's true. I'm trying to take it out.
Too many lizards, right? Whatever. Okay. Snakes, right? All right. It sounds like we've got agreement to take it out. If the town council wants to put it back in, they can put it back in. Okay. Scrolling down. Keep going, Lace. I'm going to just assume we're okay with this.
Yeah.
Effective period. This to me was a little confusing. And this is a question I need to ask Caden, because we have this concurrent processing down below, 152.304. If the preliminary application is approved by the ALUA without modification, then it's considered the final plat. So, the preliminary plat is effective for 90 days. If the final application is not submitted, it just creates some confusion in my mind here I suppose we could say the approval of a preliminary plat requiring modifications. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the way we could say it.
Yeah.
That,
does that 90 business days thing come from state law or did we make that up?
Caden had 60 days and I said things move slower in Boulder.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
my reaction to the 90 day thing too is things move slowly.
because he had 60 days in there, and we've sort of talked about it. I mean, I think it's arbitrary. I don't think it's in state law.
Yeah.
So can we leave it 90 days? 90 business days. I mean, it's.
Yeah. It feels a little short for here. I mean, it's like I'm trying to think of the things that would potentially be wrong. And.
Well, one of these things is missing. I mean, that's.
Right. And so it's like if there's a problem with your water right or something, it takes them like a few months to get the near water right notice. If there's something with your septic, it, like when we had the guy come do the feasibility test, he came like 4 months after we originally called him. You know what I mean? Like it, things just take a long time. So like you could have one piece missing and just like no fault of your own, it doesn't get solved within the time frame.
You want to make it 180 days?
Yeah. Okay. You know?
Okay. I mean, we can check with Caden. The attorneys haven't read this yet, so
yeah,
you know, they may come back and say some things. All right, keep scrolling there. Oh, we're only on page 11, and it's 8:30. It's 8:30. We're getting close. Okay, subdivision infrastructure improvements. Okay, so this. Basically says you have to put these in place. And the applicant certifies that the improvements have been completed in according to the design standards of their subdivision improvement plan. John, I put a note in here from John. We'll take that out, obviously. Says he wants to be able to record lots without any improvements. I'm not a fan of that, so... You know, this is
up to town council.
It's up to the town council, right? So I suggest we don't put it in there. And John, you can make your argument to the town council. phase developments, we basically have said we don't want that unless you're doing lot size averaging where you don't, and this gets really complicated and we can talk about it. I know John has some input on that too. When you do lot size averaging, you may carve off a few small lots and say you're going to keep a big piece in ag. And then you've got a whole other 40 acres that you're not doing anything with.
Right.
And you could come back and do that later. But the number of lots that you originally calculated is what will apply to that whole parcel.
Right.
So, and I think John, you and I
phase development. That's just
yeah. You guys did a pretty good job of putting development
in the lot size averaging. Yeah, we tried, but
yeah. It seems,
you know, we may, I mean, one option is to say it's not allowed there either. You've got to create, you know, be done with it. You create your lots
well,
and you're done with it.
That
is coming. She can't help.
Okay, so we're at record of survey. And this one, I was like,
So actually including what was the one we just had, ag exemption says it could be a record of survey.
Okay.
So we leave this in here.
Okay.
But we've already just said we require full plats on subdivisions. On the exemption, they can have a record of survey. So I will take that out. And John pointed out, John, I haven't looked up what the apparently that state code reference is wrong. This one refers to counties. So we'll have to fix this.
Oh, you mean it refers to counties instead of
towns? In towns or something. It's a different, it's the wrong reference. John, I don't know if you have the right reference there.
I can look it up. But 10-9A is municipalities, at 10-17 is the counties.
That's right. 17 is the counties. Yeah, I learned that the other day when I, so minor subdivisions shows up in county code for 100-acre ag lots. Anyway, it was all very confused.
Okay, so this needs to be changed. Okay.
So that code reference needs to be changed. Okay, engineering and infrastructure standards. This is under, keep going. Place under design standards. So you asked a question about where is the Boulder Town infrastructure design standards going to sit, right, or something.
Right.
It is a standalone document. We actually have seen it once or twice. John gave us a draft.
Okay.
The town has to adopt it. So, I mean,
and then it's just referred, it just will be referred to where it is within the,
right,
a reference.
It'll be adopted by reference in this ordinance. So.
Right. And then that, you should have a spot where it says,
That adopted by reference. Yeah. Probably the first time we use it, which I thought I did before, but it's back in the beginning somewhere. But in fact, you know, one thing would be to put it in the definition. But you don't have to. Anyway, these are some things that John added in here, given the he's the author of the Boulder Town Infrastructure Design Standards. I thought these are fine. A little bit of buyer beware there, I guess. Okay. Road requirement. Thanks, Lace. And Michael, you sent me something right before the meeting, which I did not have time to look at. That was...
Okay. Run to the bathroom, but I'll be only in a minute.
Okay. So Michael added, looks like he's okay. And speak up, Michael, if I miss stating something that you intended. One and two, he's okay with one and two there. And then he added number three, the town in its discretion shall reserve the right to maintain any private road without a road maintenance agreement at the property owner's expense. So I'll read it again. The town, in its discretion, shall reserve the right to maintain any private road without a road maintenance agreement at the property owner's expense. Mm-hmm. So basically it's saying, you know, if folks aren't doing their job and it's impossible to get in, then the town's going to go fix it and they're going to bill the property owners.
Now, seeing that's exactly it. That was exactly my intent on that third section there.
Okay. And then I did add, Michael, the drafts got sort of screwed up because Josh, I changed a lot of things based on John's comments, and then Josh gave me comments on the old draft. And anyway, at the end of number two, if you can see on the screen here, under maintenance responsibilities, Josh wanted it to be explicit that subdivision approval is not contingent on all parties signing the agreement. I should probably make agreement capitalized there, but, and we've talked about this. I mean, you know, you need an agreement within the subdivision, but if you're accessing the subdivision by a private road, you're hoping to get agreement among all those people on the private road, but they can't, if they don't sign it, you know, somebody buys the property, they need to be aware that all of those other people who were using the road didn't sign the agreement. So it is kind of a buyer beware situation.
Okay. So if a subdivision is set up in the beginning with a maintenance agreement, why would you need to have that?
So if only Deer Park, so Deer Park, there's a private road. So when they create 4 or 10 or however many lots, they'll need an agreement of the roads within that 80 acres that they're subdividing.
Oh, right. Okay.
But
okay, yeah.
The folks that live on that road off of Lower Boulder may not want to sign the maintenance agreement, and right. They can't stop.
It would be like me and Dylan having one amongst ourselves.
Right.
Or them, or the Drew Ranch, I mean, whatever, yeah.
Okay. Roads proposed for dedication. So, Michael, you didn't see this because this was in the draft that got revised. I'm okay, and you pointed out, Tina, I think. C, I think, isn't appropriate in the code right now. I mean, I don't think to say the town's not accepting new roads, you know, the town can say that. They don't have to. So I wouldn't put that in here. Reactions?
Yeah, I already said that. I don't think it's...
No, the C, under... Yeah, roads proposed for dedication to the town. So this was John's language to try to clarify that, you know, if a road's in private ownership, they can try to dedicate it to the town, but the town has total discretion on whether it accepts it. But then to put C in there just doesn't seem to me to be appropriate.
Right,
that's more, you know, sort of town's business.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
John, you can argue otherwise, but I just don't think it fits in the ordinance.
No, I mean, the real question, I think the language that Michael's provided up there in B above really captures it. So there's redundancy here. The question was, okay, so we have a very tight time frame. So if somebody submits an application that says they're going to dedicate the road to the town, I'm not sure there's going to be time for the town council to even meet and deny the request for dedication within the tight deadlines that are in the ordinance. So I'm not sure. I think as long as we say it's at the full discretion of the town council, that's probably adequate. And if somebody's attending that, they better go to the town council before they submit the subdivision application, get the town council on board. The other problem is, and this might be an alternative wording, we don't really have standards that would meet a road dedicated to the town. What we've got in the road standards right now is basically a fire access road. But if the town's going to take over maintenance, then there's a real need for very substantial engineering to make sure that the town, if the town takes over the road, it doesn't become a maintenance headache.
Right.
I'm wondering, listening to people's discussion here, whether the sentence C should be that the town does not currently have design standards for roads proposed for dedication.
Yeah, it seems to me that's the town's problem. I you know, that you need to, the town needs to talk about that. I mean, that's not in our subdivision code.
Okay, yeah, that's be another one.
And I think, you know, these timeframes, you know, people are going to have to hop to it. And it may mean the town council has to hop to it. The state is dictating, you know, these timeframes. We're not making them up in our subdivision code. So, you know, if the town council has to have more meetings to respond to this.
I do wonder about that. It's such a quick turnaround, and with so many applications and stuff, we find ourselves being like, oh, strange scenario. What do we do?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do in that situation when you like legally have to get back to people the next number of days? I don't know. But I think another time it's worth a conversation among people.
Right.
Because the Alua might find themselves in many situations.
The Alua may be a full-time job.
Yes,
Aaron.
Place to stay. escalate questions too.
Like within the state or whatever.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Ombudsman, lawyers,
okay, cool.
At this point, I think you could just take 604 out and reserve the number, because I think 603, as Michael's written it, covers what needs to be said.
Well, what I read was it's just about the maintenance. You know, the town, in its discretion, shall reserve the right to maintain any private road without a road maintenance agreement.
Right.
So it applies to the maintenance responsibilities, okay, not the dedication. So I think it's okay to leave A and B in. I would just take C out. I mean, it's kind of a heads up to anybody going through this and realizing they're going to have to do something. Michael, are you okay with the way it's worded? Can you see it on the screen?
Yeah, I am. Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll take C out, though. Okay.
I'm doing it on my draft.
All right, I'm writing it, too, so I'll cross-check what you've got there, Tina, too. All right, I highlighted the underwater, A4, because you were going to check, Tina. And yeah. So.
And I just sent it on to them and asked if they had any concern about how it was written.
Okay. Storm drainage. We just changed. Okay, so this is, you know, this gets into more numbers here, which, so this is John's suggestion that we say, if it's less than 20 acres, you can use whatever default designs are in the Boulder Town Infrastructure Design Standards. You know, we actually, back under the requirements, we said that the storm drainage plan had to be prepared by a professional engineer. I don't know if we want to reconcile that with what we have written here. Storm drainage plan prepared by a licensed engineer. Can we use the term professional engineer versus licensed engineer? We probably should be consistent.
The minor subdivision needs to be changed to small subdivision.
Small subdivision. And subdivisions less than 20 acres.
What if we made it 20.5 or 21 acres? Because sometimes the 5-acre lot is 5.03 acres. Or, you know, just... Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
No.
So if you want to divide something into 4 or 5-acre lots, but each 5-acre lot isn't exactly five, but rather it's 5.1 acres or 5.
Well, but this is a 20-acre parcel.
Correct. I'm just wondering if we should add.
And that's a random number that John came up with. So, you know, we don't, there's no.
Why are we saying that smaller ones can use the Boulder Town design standards and other ones can't? What's the reasoning there?
Because it's so expensive to do it that if you're just a small subdivision.
Yeah, so John, maybe John can talk about his logic here, and particularly reconciling it with our requirements. A storm drainage plan prepared by a licensed engineer. I mean, we need to get these two things straight. Go for it, John.
Okay. I guess the first thing is I'm totally opposed to the requirement and intend to make a motion at town council to strike it if it does come up. I mean, I feel that strongly about it. And the reason is that the Boulder has got, although we've had the word storm drainage plan in our ordinance, in 30 years, we've never used it. We've never required storm drainage plans. There's a few times we probably should have, but it hasn't caused great harm. So we're really kind of coming up with a whole de novo requirement, which could be incredibly expensive, because by you go and hire Jones and DeMille and say, I want a storm plan for, let's say, Meadowlark. It'd be a perfect example. They're going to say, well, I'm going to have to come out there and I'm going to have to do a soil survey and I'm going to have to download all these aerial maps. And we're going to run up several thousand dollars a bill to say exactly what we knew, which is it's all sand. It doesn't have any natural drainages running onto that are going to interfere with adjacent properties. And that was what was, we had accepted as the storm drainage plan for Meadowlark. So I think we're coming up with a really very complicated requirement for a non-problem. If, on the other hand, I will respect Caden's recommendation that you don't want something the size of Boulder King Estates, which is a lot larger than 20 acres, that doesn't require, that completely ignores the fact that some of the lots might be right in the middle of drainage channels. So that was where I said, okay, four lots, 20 acres, really, it's really the acreage. And as I explained to Nancy, it's really how much slick rock you have. If it's sand, you're not going to have a drainage problem. If it involves a ditch along Highway 12, down there at 450 West, that's one of the places that they should have had a drainage plan and required and a culvert put in, and that didn't happen. But that's, I think, about the only example I can think of in town where it might have made a difference. In that case, I would say simply the default saying you have to put in a 24-inch culvert is going to be a lot cheaper than having an engineer do a calculation and say, oh, well, you could really get by with an 18-inch culvert.
So
that's,
John,
that's my logic.
So, John, I think you actually put in under the requirements for a preliminary subdivision application back on page 10, a storm drainage plan prepared by a licensed engineer. I wonder if what we want to say as a requirement is a storm drainage plan prepared in accordance with the Boulder Town infrastructure design standards, and then you can put, we can put some of this language about if it's slick rock, if it's sand, if it's in the design standards. Could you do that? I mean,
that would be, I like that suggestion. I think this is why this has been a very helpful, healthy discussion. I mean, as people batted ideas around, I've learned a lot tonight. So yeah, that would be a very good way to handle it.
Okay, so back on page 10, a storm drainage plan prepared in accordance with the Boulder infrastructure design standards or whatever appropriate language goes there. Boulder Town infrastructure design standards. Okay. And then here, we simply say the same thing. And it's, and you could say, you could put the 20 acres or whatever in the design standards. I mean, you could say if it's big, it needs more. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
I think that's a great suggestion.
Okay. All right. Other utilities down here. I think Josh raised a question on this. And, you know, he asked whether we have to take all the current infrastructure and put it underground, and it basically says encourages.
Right.
So,
as always.
So I think we just leave that. Actually, one. No, there's something wrong with the numbering here. I have to fix that. Road width back on. Sorry, Gladys had another question about 40 feet. Back on 501. Oh, this may be road width somewhere. And the numbers all got changed. So she said she's not sure 40 feet is enough.
For infrastructure?
For when we talk about snow removal, this, I'd have to go back to the old draft because whatever 501 was.
Is it in this one too?
It must be in this one, or did we have 501? It got moved around. Sorry. And I also skipped Michael's other input on the easements under lot standards, under design standards. So where did we have those design standards? But we've talked about 40 feet many times.
Yeah, we did.
So
I didn't think it was enough. The snow removal.
So it's on page 17 under design standards, the requirements 501c2, the easement must be at least 40 feet in width. So she just said, I'm concerned, especially when we talk about snow removal, and now we're dealing with water company on whose responsibility and at whose expense will the snow be kept away from fire hydrants. So I'd say we leave it at 40, and if she wants to raise it in the town council, she could do that. Okay. Lot size averaging. So this got rewritten. John did a lot of this. I don't know if you all read it, but does it make sense?
Open space. Why open space?
Because it is a way to maintain open space. It's our cluster approach. And there's two possibilities, and we've reserved planned unit developments for future consideration.
But how about optional open space subdivisions? Or
options for open space preservation or something?
Yeah. Open space is just so open.
Yeah, right. It's like what we're
okay. Options for open space reservation. I don't know if I like that word, but okay. So lot size averaging. If you all read it, we can say fine, let's move on.
Okay, I have a number of things here.
Okay.
I suggest the intention should be under whatever the title is instead of under lot size averaging, because in this whole section, there is also is like space for the
land unit. Okay.
Development or whatever.
Okay, so this should be above. Yeah.
I think that A should be above. Not for lot size averaging is a possibility with intention.
Right. Okay.
What was the other thing?
So this becomes.
So the incentive that we have in here, I didn't realize was there, and that was that if you had 20 acres, you could have four lots and an open space.
Right.
So that's not new. That's always been there?
Yes, because we've always said that what's reserved in open space doesn't count as a lot. So
interesting. Okay.
That's what it said when it was adopted by the town.
Okay.
Previously.
I need to go read that again. Anyway, other than that, and then the thing that John has in here.
Yeah.
It's let's just put it in the general plan. I mean, that needs to be not set in our ordinances to as a reminder, but actually in the general plan.
Right. I would agree with that. I don't think it's appropriate in a subdivision ordinance.
We need to make that note for our general plan, which is coming up real soon.
Someday. All right. Okay. Everybody okay with that? We remove E. Okay. Let's go back. I'm sorry. I skipped Michael's comments on the appeals. And I did make a note, Michael, I don't know if you noticed it, but in the zoning code, there's all this stuff on penalties and appeals. So, if we're going to try to reconcile how we're going to handle all of this, we'll leave that in your court. I can read it to you now. You don't have to try to type it, Tina. And I can send it to you. But any violation of this, so this is under penalties. Which is 152009 on page 3.
Okay.
I'm just going to read the whole thing so you can say, yeah, it sounds fine or whatever. But any violation of this chapter shall be a civil offense punishable in accordance with Boulder Town Code and Utah state law where applicable. For violations of this chapter, persons subject to this chapter shall be assessed a fee relative and proportion to the violation itself and the cost to the town for any remedial measures taken to repair or rectify the violation itself, limited to the following dollar amounts. First offense, less than or equal to 500. Second offense, greater than 500, but less than or equal to 2,500. Third or subsequent offense, greater than 2,500, but less than or equal to 10,000. And punishable by fines set by the Boulder Town Council. Actually, we probably cross off that last line because this sounds like offenses set by the Boulder. The Boulder Town Council adopts this code, then they're going to be setting these fines.
Yeah, I should have deleted that. That's leftover language. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And these numbers are starting points for your consideration. They're very much arbitrary as to what you think a first offense is worth, what you think a second offense is worth, and obviously thereafter. It's really just designed to allow the town to recoup its cost or recover whatever proceeds were spent trying to rectify the violation itself. So I don't know if you guys have any questions about that or if you want to read a little different, but let me know.
Sounds okay to me. I mean, it's, yeah, sounds okay to me. Others okay with it? More or less, you'll have to see it.
It sounded good to me. I just reiterate that I'm opposed to any criminal penalties for.
Yeah, and we're not.
With civil penalties.
Right. We're not making anything a crime. Okay. It's just it's a hand slap and a give us money when you're bad.
That's fine.
Okay. Appeals, he added just a sentence to what we had there, which is the next section, 152.010. Appeal authority and procedure is incorporated by reference to Boulder Town Code sections 153.355 to 153.366, which is what's in our zoning code that we need to go over, but maybe not tonight, since I committed to Aaron that I would try to end the meeting by 9 o'clock. And so we've made it through the subdivision code. My suggestion is we continue looking at the final draft. We look at this and come up with some ordinance language to make these changes by our next meeting. And then I'm talking about the zoning, the next topic on our agenda.
Okay.
And then we hold our public hearing at the second September meeting. We do have a second September meeting and we do our public hearing at that meeting. I did not get any response to my request to flip the town council meeting with the planning commission meeting. So I'd say we just go ahead. I mean, maybe they'll agree to flip it and then Elena, you can participate, but I haven't gotten a response back.
Because it was part of that other email too. It might've gotten buried in there.
Yeah, it was one long email that I sent.
Or something. And otherwise, if it's not the public hearing, I'll just miss it.
Yeah, and you can respond to documents and send thoughts. So so I will commit to working with Tina to clean this up. And then I'm happy to take a stab at this zoning to make these changes in zoning. They are all pretty administrative. I mean, just to come back and say, we'd repeal this and we'd need to make it say this. So one example is, the PC now has responsibility for approving subdivisions. We need to take that out of our zoning code.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these are, I think they're fairly minor because they're just strikeouts or things that, you know, we say in zoning that no longer apply. We don't have anything about the ALUA, so we need to add that because in the zoning, it lists who has responsibilities for what. So we need to put the ALUA actually has responsibilities for zoning.
So, John, are you still there?
He is still there.
Yes, I am.
I
I just want to ask you, the reason that the design standards are going to be in a separate ordinance and not in the zoning ordinance is because it's, they'll change? Or I don't know. What's the...
Okay, good question. Well, first, that's the way most jurisdictions do it. And the reason is that the design standards tend to have a tremendous amount of detail, which means that they tend to need continual revision when you start finding errors.
Okay.
And by adopting it by reference, and then, I mean, by in the ordinance, which makes them sufficiently binding, and it's no different than referring to the fire code or the wildland urban interface code. If the code changes, we don't have to go back through the whole process of amending the subdivision ordinance.
Okay. So it will just be referenced also in the zoning ordinance, correct?
I think that would be a good way to do it.
Okay.
I mean, an example, you know, if a new edition of the fire code comes out and we want to change it from being the 2004 version to the 2024 to the 2026 edition, we don't have to go through an ordinance change process. We just update the standard. And
Okay, got it.
Okay. I am going to suggest we don't do the zoning discussion. If you guys want to look at that and offer comments, that would be great.
Yeah, I have it on.
Okay.
Okay.
What I said, review meeting actions we made. Tina was taking notes. I was taking notes. We'll get together and make sure we get a good draft. Daryl, I saw you had some comments. If anybody else has comments between now and tomorrow morning or whatever on the subdivision ordinance that we just talked through. And then we'll have a clean version for the next meeting. We will go over, I'd actually started drafting an ordinance for these zoning changes because we'll have to put it forth as an ordinance the same way. So I'll try to put these in, although if anyone else wants to volunteer to do that, I'd be open to it. But
we have the same thing online. We can make comments within the
ordinance.
So I like that. It works for me.
Although
tomorrow morning.
Sorry. I'm trying to expedite this. The problem with the thing online, and you will see the reference here, the housekeeping ordinance changed things in the zoning code.
Right.
So you have to read the housekeeping ordinance. It's not in the zoning code. So it's kind of a pain in the butt.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we will come and talk about our subdivision ordinance, the final version of our subdivision ordinance, and the possible zoning ordinance changes at our next meeting.
Okay.
And then hopefully have a public hearing at the following meeting.
Okay.
Okay. I know you didn't want a second September meeting, but we'll stop them in October. We'll stop them in October. Okay. John, do you have comments? The final public comment?
Real quick, first I want to thank everybody for their effort. This has been a fairly difficult process, very time consuming, but I really appreciate everybody's efforts and hanging in. And I appreciate all the comments that people are making because everybody's comments makes it better. One thing, I did look up the stuff about the agricultural exemption. The Tropic Code is not the state law, but we could have an offline, you and I and Caden should probably have an offline conversation about that.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Any other public comment? We have our diehards still online here. Jen or Ashley, anything you want to say? I guess not. Okay, then I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Great.
Yeah.
Can I have the meeting adjourned?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thanks all.
Okay.